What a pleasure to be here today. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Glory to God. I told somebody, I don't know if it's going to be the Holy Ghost or the sugar in the pie, but we're going to have a good time. Amen. We've already had a wonderful time to get acquainted with a number of you men, and had a wonderful 2 days out at Benny's Retreat Center. But you all that are here that don't know me, I am human, married 51 years, have a wife and 3 children, and finally 3 grandchildren. I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to pick them up, you know, so they finally came. And we live in the northwest side of the state, just below the Canadian border a little ways. So been there 40 some years, pastored 30 years. And that's the short version. Praise God. But today I have some thoughts out of the scriptures. And I'm trusting the sound man will not let me be too loud, because I do kind of get excited sometimes. So you keep an eye on that. But we're going to open the...
We just shut you off at a certain decibel.
That's okay. If I get too loud, I'm gone. We're going to open the scriptures in a few moments. And when we do, we're going to begin to draw from the life of God. And as we draw from the life of God, the Holy Spirit knows how to break it up so we can assimilate it. And what I don't want to do, and what I try not to do, and hopefully successfully, is just to touch our intellect, you know, teach something exciting and new and, you know, mysterious. We want to eat of the good word of God, and we want to have the satisfaction of being filled today. So what I have to do when I do that, or what I love to do when I do that, is I ask the Holy Spirit, what's the need? And he gives me a word. So I'm going to give you a word today, a short teaching on something the Lord dropped in my spirit. And I'm going to take a little more time than I usually do, perhaps to give some scriptures so you can make some notations. Because I believe that when we speak the word of God, life changes and lives change. And I haven't come for any other reason except to deposit in you some of the life of God from this book. Amen. And because we contain the life of God, because we have been born again, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the scripture says God himself, the fullness of the Godhead bodily lives in us through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, then my showing up has a part of this, of the part of releasing the life of God. So when you enter into a person's home, and the scripture says when you enter in, bless it, when you know, there's a blessing that comes with each of us, not just us great men of God. I had to teach the men to laugh at my jokes yesterday, so I don't blame you for being slow on that one. Not just us great men of God. I mean, we have this idea in the church that, well, there's some real big men of God, and then there's some medium men of God, women of God, and then there's us. No, it's people filled with the Spirit of God by the born-again experience. We have been born again by the supernatural Spirit of God, and every one of us have the eternal Spirit of Christ living in us. Now, some of us learn how to express it differently. Some of us learn how to take the gate open, you know, the blinds down. Amen. There was a woman years ago, and every time I tell the story, I forget her name, but it'll come to me. And she was deaf, blind, and couldn't speak. And she became, she had a nurse or some woman that came into her life. This was probably in the 30s, I think, maybe a little earlier. And the last century, by the way, in case some of you younger people wonder. And this woman taught her to communicate by vibrations. And she became world famous with poetry, and they traveled around the world, and she gave her poetry. But she couldn't hear, couldn't see, and couldn't speak. All the contacts that our soul has with the outside world were cut off. But inside of her was a gift, and that gift was very precious, and someone taught her how to open up and give out. Now, inside of us is the Spirit of God. Inside of us is the miracle of the creative Spirit of Christ that has come through salvation. And many of us have not learned how to open the door and let it out. Us preachers, we give a good attempt at it, but every born-again person has the life of God. So when you step into some person's life, when you enter into their world, business life or relationship, you are bringing in the life of God, whether you preach or sing, or there's an atmosphere of peace around those who walk in peace. And I tell you, this world sure needs peace, doesn't it? Amen. A number of years ago, I was coming out of my garage. It took me about 40 years to learn how to say that. I used to say garage, but my wife taught me how to say garage. Thank you. It's just an English lesson here. Coming out of the garage into my kitchen, and we have a laundry room. It's kind of like a hallway with a couple of washers in it, you know, washer and dryer. And I don't turn the light on. It's 8 foot long or six, and I shut the door. And before I grab this doorknob, the Spirit of the Lord says, "What if no one had ever taught you the mystery of the doorknob?" Now, I know when the Lord's speaking, because it's usually pretty odd, you know. What if no? And so I thought, okay. Now I've been in some Africa huts where there's no doorknobs, and they have never seen a doorknob, so I can understand what God's saying. What if no one had ever taught you that you put your hand on that little round knob and you turn it? Now, if I didn't know that, I'd kick the door and scream and fall on the floor. And then I had a flashback. I'm 5 years old. I'm in the Sunday school room in Wilmington, California. Now, we lived in the church. It was kind of like the little apartment, and Sunday school rooms were down the hallway. So I wandered off and I got locked in a Sunday school room. Now this is Monday. This is on Monday. And I can't get the door done. It's stuck and it's about this high. And I started crying for mother. Oh, I think I'm going to die in this room. Now I didn't, obviously I'm here. But what if no one had ever taught you how to find Jesus? What if no one had ever taught you how to sing in the Spirit? What if no one have ever opened a book and told you that you're forgiven? You see, that's the mystery that needs to be unfolded in every one of our lives. And I've found out in my journey, I've been born again a long time, I've been found out in my journey that when I find one mystery, there's another one behind it just to be discovered. And that's the power and the beauty of the Christian life. Amen. I've actually worked a few straight jobs in my life. I haven't always been a preacher. But in between preaching, I always had to work to kind of pay for the journey. I was working in the Portland school district, working with a guy, and he was a heathen to the core, and we drove around the truck all day doing things. So we drove by the Pentecostal church, and he starts going on the litany of the Pentecostal snake handlers and chandelier riders and rolling on the floor. And I mean, he had the whole thing. He must have read a book somewhere. And I let him go on. And finally I said, I am one of those. Well, that shut him up for a while. And he said, and then they come up with the old "don't you miss," don't you miss don't you miss this, and don't you miss parties, and don't you miss fun. I said, yeah, I miss all that headache, all those hangovers, and, all the grief and the pain that goes with it, all right? So, but the whole, and that, then I said, Raj, his name was Roger. I said, Raj, have you ever healed the sick? Well, Roger hadn't healed anything. I knew that. And he said, have you ever healed the sick? Well, I did it on purpose, just so I could, kind of stop him for a bit. I said, Roger, you've never known what it is to lay hands on the sick. And now I'm talking to a guy who didn't even know that probably exists. I said, there's things in God you never even know. Now, I don't know what happened to Roger, but I did let my light shine in those months I was with him. And I believe the seed somewhere along the line probably came up. But I remember the shock in his face when I asked him if he ever healed the sick. Now, let me ask you, what is in your spiritual tool bag you've never tested and tried? My my wife bought me a router. I'm kind of a dreamer. I like to think I'm good at things, and so I buy tools, you know. And she bought me a router. And so my brother-in-law comes over, and I pull out my router. I said, "Look what I got! I got a router." He says, "What have you done with it?" Well, it was really clean. There was no dust on it. He knew I hadn't worked it. I said, "Nothing. I haven't done anything with it. But I got a router." Well, I got the Holy Ghost. What have you done with it? You know, I know the scriptures. What have you done with it? So my introduction, this is all introduction. I'm going to preach in a minute. But I just wanted to speak some things out of my spirit to you. And as we open our spirits to the Lord, and if you'll set your thinking, your mind, your spirit, your emotions, that you are an important part of God's outlet system. Now, I've had I've been crammed, you know, 2 days of education coming to this beautiful valley. And the major thing I've learned here is water is really important. I mean, the water's running all over, and I've found out about the reservoirs and the pipelines and the permits and, you know, who's in charge. Water is really important. You've got the water of life in you. You and I just have to know how to turn the spout and spigot on and get the connections. The life of God is in you. Amen. Now, because of that, I don't pray as long as I used to get something out. I still pray, but it's not in the same desperate, "Oh God, are you still there?" attitude, because I know that there's a reservoir in me. Amen. And I heard about a reservoir up in the high mountains, and where all the water's waiting to come down. The reservoir is in God. For he said that the riches of God is what channels into us. Not our riches, it's the riches of God. Now, that's not just money, that's everything God contains. So, just open the pipeline and it'll flow. Praise the Lord. Now, I realize we do have to spend kind of a compensatory, I'm not real good, and oh God help me, and I'm the lowest of the low, and that there's something about it kind of makes me feel better because I'm, but you catch the point, that's what we do, it's illegal, that's what we do, oh God forgive me for my sin when I was 7 or 12 or 14, come on now, let's start right today. That you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have been forgiven for 34% of your, 75%, 87%, 100% of your sins. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little silly today, pardon me. You have been forgiven for all of your sins. Now the washing then of the water of the word washes all those negative and fearful things, all that personality that was so bent and warped and all the things that beat me up. I don't come to God like that. I come to God as a son who is totally forgiven, and he loves me more than I can imagine. Amen. Now, let's go to, this is the phrase I want to give you today. The power of an encouraging word. I'm going to work on that. The power of an encouraging word. Give you about 4, 5, 6 scriptures. We just kind of chew on them for a bit. Power of an encouraging word. The more familiar one I use a lot, and I love it, is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I've read that 1,000 times maybe. And this morning as I was meditating upon it, I read it again. I said, whoa, look at that. I made some notes in my Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And right below it, I think I told this to the fellas the other day, right below it is, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. And I said, and we were talking about words yesterday, and I said, you know, there were two things I said that changed my life forever. I love you, and will you marry me? Well, 51 years later, I see, wow, those two tie together. There was life in my voice when I said I love you, and it brought me the favor of the Lord. And that's something. Now, you women are left out, I'm sorry, but us men, we got favor. You got pain, I said, most of the time, I suppose. Glory to God. So, here we are. There's life and death and the power of the tongue. Let's just lay out a couple of foundational thoughts, and then we'll going to work on a little bit. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We contain the voice of God because we contain him. We're like him. We're in his image. So that's why language, or that's why the voice of God or the voice of a human is so important. Listen to Paul when he said, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It is the word that we have spoken to you. So there's something in our mouth. Now, when I come to Christ, I came to Christ in this form. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised. So my confession was in my voice. I spoke something out. I have learned all my life that God breathed in Adam the breath of life. I'm suspecting, and it's not detailed in Scripture, but I'm suspecting he was speaking at the same time, and the breath of the words were going into him, because he spoke everything else into existence. I'm thinking he spoke God, he spoke to Adam, and that breath went right into him. He said, "You are in my image. You are my son. I love you. You're going to dominate and rule." Genesis 1, 26 and 27. "I'm going to make him in our own image. They'll rule and dominate and subdue and all that." And so I believe that breath going into him was the byproduct of the breathing, and out was voice. He was speaking. So then I have the voice. I have the nature of my Father has been given to me in voice. I can speak and I can say things. Amen. If you don't think your voice is important, or you don't think your words have impact, tell the cop what you really think of him next time he stops you. Come on. You know what I mean. Just don't bite your tongue. Just tell him what you really think. I've tried that once. It doesn't work, you know. Why are you stopping me? Well, okay, now, the voice has a power behind it. So we're talking about an encouraging word. We're talking about speaking something into people, all right? Genesis 2 and 19, Adam named the animals, and God brought them together and brought them and said, "What do you think of this?" And he names them. I've heard someone, and, you know, some theories are interested, and I said, you can kind of think they might work, but God brought them and Adam spoke them, and when he spoke them, they went into the shape he spoke them to. It sounds fun, but whatever happened, he named the animals. Amen. Spoken word contains life, death, encouragement, direction, correction, instruction, education, information, salutations, revelation, damnation, curses, blessings, romance, peace, anger, sedition, inventions, wisdom, and much more. That's the voice we carry. All the things that God has put in us, our tongue and our voice contains everything that could be living in life and full of joy. Amen. All right, no wonder he said death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, this is why God gave us a new tongue. Now, Genesis 1, Genesis 11, 6, at the Tower of Babel. Now, just a little short history lesson if you haven't been there for a while. Tower of Babel was a serious junction in the history of humankind, where God said this about them. They built this huge tower. And I've heard some researchers say that it took almost days to get around the base of it. It was so big. But they were building, and I always thought it was like a rocket ship. They were trying to get to God in distance. But they built this high edifice to, do witchcraft and supernatural, try to touch the spirits and so forth. But God said, nothing they imagine, according to the Amplified, nothing they imagine will be held back from them because they have unity of voice. And so what God did to divide them up and to break the power of their unity was to take away their one voice. And he gave many voices, didn't he? Many languages. And the scripture says in that setting, and then the building stopped. If I was a pastor this morning and pastoring, like I have for so many years, I would talk about the church, the local church, that needs one vision, one voice, one purpose. And I don't mean just we're going to just do one thing, but I'm talking about the unity of the faith and the bond of peace. It's one voice. Amen. All right. Just laying some thoughts down here for you as we go along. Now, at Acts 2, let's see, the fourth chapter, 24th verse, at Pentecost, he gave unity back to us in our voice, our language. Now, let's look at it for a moment. One language, total unity. He could do anything they put imagine to. But in Christ, at Pentecost, God brought one voice back, one language. And the heavenly language that he has given us, so important to speak in tongues, so important to pray in tongues, so important to worship in the heavenly languages, because it's the united voice of the kingdom of God. I've been around the world several times, and everywhere you hear that, it's the same. Amen. May have a little lilt to it if you're in the right country, but there's a language that is so common among those who are filled with that and overflowing with that. Amen. Amen. Early Pentecost, I was a young boy, kind of had the idea that you didn't have anything to do, much with the Holy Spirit unless you spoke in tongues, but you don't get saved without the Holy Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit, but the baptism is like being on the front of the boat, the ship, when the going down of the wave and the wave crashes over you. That's being overcome or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Overcome by the Spirit, where the Spirit breaks out of you and the language. James says the biggest, toughest, hardest thing to do is control that sucker right there. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in baptism and the sign of the tongue comes, it's that indication, it's that sign that God has now dominated the ruling member of your body, because the scripture says, like a horse's bridle, it'll go one way, or like a ship, you can take it another way. So the tongue can take us off into the ditch or can take us straight ahead. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when that one language comes back, then I'm able to stay on track. Now, the scriptures tell us in Jude 20, it's in the Bible, believe me, there's somewhere. Jude 20, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I choose to believe that's in tongues. Some of our brothers would say that's just, like being spiritual. But I believe that's a heavenly language. And praying in the Holy Spirit means I begin to build myself up like a tower higher and higher and higher. So that heavenly language, that new tongue he gave us, is for personal edification. When George needs to just be in the presence of the Lord and I just spend time before him. And I walk out the prayer room door, or my bedroom door, and I'm ready to face life again. Why? Because I've found that one tongue that unites us all, and I'm encouraged in the Lord. Or in the public service, I may speak a tongue out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and if there's nobody else to interpret, I can interpret. Or maybe somebody else interprets. Now, I'm encouraging you with these encouraging words. The power of your tongue is alters your direction, changes your destiny, and points you in the way that you ought to go. Now, that's what confession is. You know, we've had some wonderful teaching on confession. And we got so hyper in the 70s and 80s, you know, early 80s, that boy, if you said a word, someone will almost slap you down. Ah, don't say that. That's a bad confession. But you know what confession is? It's a musical note kind of thing. It's a harmony. And I love to play the piano. I love to play several instruments. I would love to play the piano. I would love to play several instruments. You have to know my background. I've had lessons in a lot of them. And a total failure in most, but I had fun trying. Dad says I have a $500. He says he has a $500 song. I paid $500 in piano lessons, and all he has is one tune he can play. But I know enough that when I hear a discord that doesn't fit, that's wrong. That's what confession is. And a discord in my vocabulary, a discord in my life, is when I begin to say, I'm just a lonely boy, lonely and blue. I'm all alone with nothing to do. That's not God's word, and there's no harmony. But when I say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in, that's harmony. Because I'm saying what God says about me, and the life of that begins to go together. And you know what happens when the seeds come together in natural life with a male, female? They have a new creation. And when your confession, when you harmonize with God's word about you, then there's a new creation comes. That new creation is vision and power and anointing and encouragement. You feel different when you begin to say what God says about you. Now, I know there's a little pity party that you can kind of work up. Oh, I've had a hard day and I'm just so low. And you know, there's a little flesh that someone, oh, you poor boy. That's short-lived and there's no life in it. Amen. Amen. I don't ever try that with my wife. She says, snap out of it. she's got a lot of compassion, but not when I'm whining. All right. So here we are. We're ready to step into the future. From this moment on, the future is ahead of us. From this moment on, the things that we've done in the past are done, buried, dealt with. God's dealt with them, good, bad, and ugly. Now, you and I have the ability to begin to form our future by our words. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm thinking, that's up to you. I'm just waiting here for you to, you know, you're thinking, okay, that's good. We got it. Hallelujah. All right. At Pentecost, then, the voice came back. Two things happen when we get our voice back. John 16:23. Two things happen when we get our voice back. He says, at that day, and I believe we can tie John 16:23 to Acts 2:4. At that day, this is not a second coming scripture. Doesn't do away with the second coming, but I don't believe this is one. He said, that day your joy will be full, and you will ask me anything that you've never asked in the Father's name before. You will ask now in the Father's name, the Father in my name, and you will receive it. So two things happened at Pentecost when the voice came back. The fullness of joy began to be the key to the door. And as I meditated upon that for this session we're having today, the Spirit of the Lord just dropped that thought in my heart. With joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. The well and the water are not the important thing here. The joy is the well. Now we say, well, I'm going to go to the well and I'll get joy. I'm going to go to the well and after I drink, I'll be happy. No, somehow by the miracle of God, joy gives us the key to open up the well and the water. There's something about coming to the Father with rejoicing. And when we rejoice, we're in a framework of receiving. Amen. Now, I know most of you have loved ones. And some of you have close loved ones. I do. And I tell you what, when I'm walking, I'll see my wife. And I've been gone almost a week. I'll see my wife in a couple of days. And when I walk up to her, this is what I walk up to her like.
I don't think so. Love me, honey.
Yeah, right. I'm going to walk up to her like this. Open arms. I'm receiving an embrace. Hallelujah. Now, I have to admit my dog meets me first before she does, but that's okay. We won't get into that. All right. Why? Now, so with joy, when you rejoice, you can't rejoice glum. Rejoicing does something to my frame. It does something to my arms. They just want to float up. There's something in my, and we heard the song about even the feet want to move. Now, see, joy, then with that joy that came at Pentecost, with that joy, he said, with fullness of joy, and there's two things that identify the John 16 being fulfilled is when at Pentecost they were full of joy and they begin to ask the Father, in the name of Jesus. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given. He wasn't into that until he got Pentecost in him. Amen. Hallelujah. The dynamo that's in each of us, and yet many of us have a natural, quietness, but there's a spiritual dynamo in there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, power of an encouraging word. It's not just hype. It's not just John Roberts or some of those motivative speakers where you feel better after you leave, except for you feel bad. You paid $5,000 to hear them, I guess. But there's an anointing in your voice to bring encouragement. Yeah, glory to God. All right. In Acts 4:24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord. I just throw a few scriptures out of John here because he's got a bunch of them. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is a wonderful insight. He says, believe in God, believe in Christ, believe in eternal life, that's the mansions in the sky, and the reward you have, the reward you have of a righteous life is the Spirit of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Hallelujah. Do you know if we could sell peace like they do chewing gum or candy bars, we'd make a fortune because people are hungry and they don't have peace. And yet one of the things we have abundance of, and I teach and preach to Christians quite a bit around the country, and even in churches, there's a lack of peace in Christians that have not learned the joy that's in the well. Hallelujah. Amen. I speak and I release an encouraging word. I've always been a power man, I want the power. That's how young preachers start out. They want the power. They have their spiritual heroes who are healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water. I want the power. And I'm doing away with that. We need power. But boy, if you don't have power without peace, if you don't have power without joy, you're going to crash it. You're going to take that sucker and crash it. It's like a hot rod without brakes. You get going, but you don't know how to stop.
And I'm speaking to someone this morning, the peace of God. I'm just releasing my voice with that anointed voice I have through the Holy Ghost, and I'm speaking peace into your spirit. And I tell you, as I speak, you just receive it. My worship brother here just took it in. Amen. I love that. Amen. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's the voice of encouragement. Amen. Voice of encouragement. I told the fellas yesterday, I was at a Saturday night event with hot rods and cars, you know, and dirt and all that. Some guy had a t-shirt on. Said, the flogging will continue until morale is, you know, built up or lifted. And I was kind of raised like that, you know. The church had a, you're going to hell if you don't do this, you're going to hell if you don't do that, you know. Wear this, don't wear that. Go here, don't go there. Now, they love God, but it was kind of like someone taught them how to drive the cattle in with a, you know, a gun instead of a carrot. You know? The love of God constrains us. It's the love of God that draws us in. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm feeling better. I'm encouraged. I've been listening to myself for a few minutes here. That's pretty good stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just show up sometimes, see what I'm going to say. Glory to God. John 17. Let's go to John 14, 20. At that day you will know. I'm kind of just wrapping it up here, but I just want you to hear this again. John 16, 23. Ask me. You've asked me nothing whatsoever. You ask now in the Father, He will give it. So two things that happened when the voice came back is that the joy of the Lord was there and my relationship with the Father was complete through Jesus Christ. John was the one who really talked about the Father. Those precious Jewish people had a long dry spell, 400 years since the last prophet. They didn't know God as a father. They knew Him as a judge and, the ruler and the one who would crush the enemies. But you and I have been introduced through Jesus Christ as our Father who loves us in heaven and has given us all things richly to enjoy. And I speak to you this morning this word of encouragement. I release your voice to encourage others. I release your voice to speak into your families and into your situation. Speak to your children. Speak to your grandchildren. Say what's in their spirits, not what they're doing at the moment. They know they're missing it. Don't just tell them that. Oh, you're a jerk. No. There's something in you that's not yet completed, and you're going to be the greatest student. And I just believe you've got talent that's going to be wonderful. You see, that's that word that draws out of them the talent and the ability to do it. Amen. Amen. My young son won a contest. When he was about six, on one of those coloring contests at the restaurant. And he, all of a sudden, he won, and we went to the Space Needle and to a Broadway play on his ticket. That was amazing. Well, I didn't think much about it. I thought, what a fluke. I mean, that's got to be a mistake. Amen. So he comes up with the back of a comic book, and he draws a little bird there, whatever it is, a mouse or whatever. And lo and behold, of course, they called and wanted to come and see us. And they sold me a $1,500 art lesson. Well, I want to make the boy happy, you know. Now, this is the same guy that just a few days before the cops were in the house because he had left a pig's head on the car of a friend, the neighbor. It was a joke. I thought, oh, Lord, what are you doing? And they reprimanded him and, you know, scolded him. But I knew there was something in him. And I encouraged it by paying for that bill. Today, he is a first-class graphics designer and artist, because we spoke and we believed in something in him. Instead of beating him up and cursing him over the pig's head on the car, there was other things he did. I mean, he was the only kid I had that crawled out at night and went out his window. And he didn't know I knew, but he crushed the flowers all over under his window. You can see his footprints. But we spoke into him. And he became, he was 7 years my youth pastor, and married and has two. But you have to believe in what God has placed in them. And you speak encouragement because you've got power in your voice. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just want to pray a couple of minutes here for someone. There may be two or three or four of you that... discouragement has been a real heavy load, like a cloud. And sometimes we need to pray over that and break it. It's not just self-help here. We're here together. Sometimes we need to call the elders, don't we? Because they can pray a prayer we don't do. So if you've been involved lately in nightmares or discouragement or something just comes from the past all the time like a black cloud and causes you to feel like you can't go forward, come down, stand with me for a moment. This is my standard style. I pray for people as the Lord leads. So let's just take a moment, and if that's you, just get out of your seat and come down, stand with me. We're going to break that. We're going to have a freedom from those reoccurring things. Maybe just step over here a little bit so we can all get in. Good, 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 good. Hallelujah. All right. Now, as I pray, just agree with me. This is body life, isn't it? Glory to God.